you may be seated, and it's good again to be able to say that. Let me invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Some other folk that we thought were going to be here tonight that aren't, but you are. And I see Miss Vicky made it in. Brother Joe, I'm going to assume, is working. And let me say to Miss Vicky, and she can pass it on to Brother Joe, happy anniversary. And more than 20, less than 40. How about right in the middle? 30 years they've been married. Amen. God bless you. Trust it's another 30 at least. God bless you tonight. Glad that you're spending some of that time with us tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The subject tonight is simply this, and you're going to hope that I'm not too filled with my subject tonight, because the subject tonight is, if I was the devil. If I was the devil. Someone says, well, there's a good subject for Brother Sutton to preach on, because he probably knows a lot about that. And I do. I believe I do. I've learned some things through personal experience, through the Bible, through watching people and working with people. And so we want to mention several of these things tonight. In your Bible tonight, one Bible verse we're going to look at as our jump-off spot, and then we have just a number of verses that we're going to give you. Perhaps you'll have a pencil and you'll want to write some of those things down. Let me give you another idea, too. Because we're live streaming and because those are all videoed, you can go back and replay it if you want to and get the references that way. And might be easier for some of you than trying to write it down and listen at the same time. But you do what would please the Lord, and that would please us. We want to be deliverers of the Bible. And yet we know this, that if we are hearers of the word and not doers only, we have deceived our own selves. And so let's purpose tonight. In fact, we're going to stop after we read this one verse of Scripture, and you'll have the opportunity that you could just whisper to the Lord, Lord, if you'll speak to my heart, if you'll tell me what you want done, Lord, I'll do that. If you tell me, make it clear, I'll do what you want done tonight, and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. So verse number 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. My Father, I thank you tonight for the Bible, and I pray, Father, that we would tonight just yield our will. Lord, yield our time, our life, our health, every issue of our life. Father, may we yield those things to you. We have visited, Lord, with folk this week that have not done that. And Lord, we see the confusion and the chaos and the hurt and the heartache that comes when people profess to know Christ and they don't live for him. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd make us good listeners. And then, Lord, that you'd help us to be obedient. I know, Lord, we can't mind your word in the flesh. But Father, you working in us, we can obey. And so I pray that you would speak to our hearts, meet needs in our lives. Help us, Lord, to glean something that we can share this week with someone else to make a difference in their life and maybe in their eternity. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard someone say something like, you know, something would happen and they'll say, if I were the Lord Jesus, if I was Jesus Christ, I would do X, Y, or Z. Well, actually, we need to understand that if we were the Lord Jesus, we would do exactly what Jesus did, what Jesus does, and what Jesus will do, because he always does that which is perfect. Here's your Bible verse, John 8 and verse number 29. The Bible said, and he that sent me, this is Jesus speaking, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why, Lord? For I do always those things that please him. So we know that if we were the Lord Jesus, we would do always those things that please him. So now that tells me that if I'm obeying the Lord, if I'm listening to the Lord, and I'm walking with the Lord, I'm listening to the Lord, then I'm going to do that which pleases the Father. If Christ is controlling my life. Now then, have you ever wondered at some other time what the devil would do in order to affect someone's life, maybe their eternal destiny? We look at that thought tonight, and knowing that the devil will attack, how he will attack, and in what area of our life he will attack, and the things that he will do, knowing his strategy, I think, will help us to avert some problems in our life. The Bible says we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools. The Bible says we're to be careful, for the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And so we ought to sometimes ask ourselves, what part is the devil playing in this whole scenario? And how can we get ahead of him? How can we do that which would maybe cause him some problems and not dishonor the Lord? And so tonight, if you have a lost loved one, if you have a lost neighbor, you have a lost friend, and you've been trying to talk to them about the things of the Lord, here's the number one thing I would do if I were the devil. I'd cause a person not to hear the Word of God. I'd keep the Word of God completely away from them. If I was the devil, I would know some things. You know, we sometimes think the devil is dumb and that he's, forgive the word, stupid. And now he is foolish, but dumb or stupid, he's not. And we need to understand that tonight. Here's some things that the devil knows for positive. In Psalms 119, in verse number 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And so we need to understand the devil knows that when this book comes into a person's heart, it begins to shed light. "The entrance of thy word giveth light." We're living in a dark world tonight. The problem that we're having in America tonight is because it's a dark world. There's an absence of the Word of God being allowed to come into people's hearts and serve in people's hearts, and people are doing foolish things because they have ignored the entrance of God's Word. In John chapter 6 and verse number 63, the Bible says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus says, you need the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God. He said, "I didn't give you this book just to decorate a library somewhere. I didn't give you that book just to have something to carry around back and forth to the services. I gave you that book because the Bible says that it's spirit and it's life." In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the devil knows this too. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Someone says, "Oh, my faith is not what it ought to be. My faith is not what it ought to be." You can cry all you want about your faith not being what it ought to be, or not what it used to be, and not being able to accomplish the things you used to accomplish or you want to accomplish. But the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. And so if I were the devil, I'd just keep people away from the Bible. That would be one of the aims of my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 2, the Bible speaks of the gospel of Christ. And it says that gospel by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So here the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that if you're saved, you're saved by hearing the gospel. The fact that Jesus died and rose again, and we need to get that message out. In James chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Here again, God begetting us, God bringing us forth, God birthing us, if you please, by the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now understand this tonight, whether you're here or out there in live stream somewhere, understand this. The devil keeps people away from the Word of God because no one ever got saved apart from the Word of God. You don't get saved looking at a sunset or a sunrise. You don't get saved by doing good works. You don't get saved by being a good Samaritan. You get saved when the Word of God gives you faith to trust that Jesus really died for you, and that He raised again from the grave, and that He was after being buried for 72 hours, and He ever lives today to make intercession for us. Now, in order to keep people from hearing the Word of God, the devil does a lot of things. First off, he'll have churches to close. He'll have churches not to have services. You know, a lot of churches that used to have Wednesday night services say, well, why worry? Why have services? No one comes anyway. But the Bible says that we're to not forsake the assembling ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but even the more as you see the day approaching. Rather than stopping to have a service, stopping having a service, we ought to be adding to our services, if anything. So we need to understand he would keep people from the Word of God. And then he would cause disturbances while people are in the house of God. Babies crying. There's not a preacher on the top side of God's earth that can compete with a baby crying. Every grandma in the auditorium wants to check that baby to see if it's got a diaper pin loose, not knowing that they haven't used diaper pins and diapers for a number of years now. There's not a grandma around that doesn't think, if I could just hold that child would quit crying. We need to understand disturbances will keep people from hearing the Word of God. People talking, people passing notes, people getting up and going to the restroom sometimes two or three times during a service. It never ceases to amaze me. A person can go to a rodeo or to a football game or a basketball game or something, and they can sit for hours. They can go into a courtroom and sit for a half a day and never have to go to the restroom. But they've got to go three or four times during a one-hour service at church. You see, if I were the devil, I'd keep people from hearing the Word of God. So we need to understand that. People getting up and people getting down and people coming in and people coming out. One truth we need to understand tonight, if we have loved ones that don't know Christ or if we have an enemy. Listen, sometimes people can become our friends who used to be our enemies if they just trust Christ as their Savior. But whether they are a friend or a family member or an enemy, a staunch enemy, none of them are going to come to Christ apart from the Word of God. Now, I was talking to a person one time and he told me that he was in jail and is in the bullpen. And they had so many occupants, so many residents in that jail that they had to put them all in one pen because the individual cells were all full. So they just put the overrun they put into they called it a bullpen. He was sitting in the bullpen at night. He was up against the wall and he was sleeping and he felt somebody kick him on the legs, and he woke up and he said there was an angel standing above him and told him that he was going to go to hell if he didn't change his ways. And he said, I got saved right there. I said, well, what chapter and verse did he give you? He said, he didn't talk Bible to me. He just told me the truth. Well, listen, the Bible is the truth. And no one ever got saved apart from the Word of God. No one. That's why we labor to send missionaries to different places to tell people they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Looking at the stars in the heavens. Now, the stars in the heavens, the sunrise, the sunset, I don't make light of those things, for David said, when I consider the heavens, David knew that the heavens declared his handiwork. But there, that's just talking about his creation. To know how to be saved, you've got to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if I was the devil, I'd just do everything I could to keep the Bible away from people. The second thing I would do is I'd cause people to believe, or excuse me, to not believe or to doubt that the Word of God once they heard it. You know, they'd laugh at it, they'd scoff at it, they'd mock at it. They would it'd cause them to think it's a joke, to think that it's a fairy tale, to think that it can't be true. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now listen to this. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judge. And so if I was the devil, and I wanted to keep a person from getting saved, or I wanted to keep a weaker Christian from doing what he was supposed to be doing, one of the things, I'd keep him away from the Bible if I could. And if I couldn't, I would surround him with Bible deniers. People who scoff and laugh and mock at the Bible, like many of the folks in public schools today. They think that the whole idea of creation is a joke, that God would speak and there would be light. And they think that that's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's not only that they think it, but they pass that on to many of their students. I think the very first time I was ever sent for as a discipline action, that wasn't the last time, but the very first time I was ever sent for a disciplinary action to the office by a teacher was when the teacher told us one day that science says if you don't use a limb, you're going to lose that limb. And was talking about how people are going everywhere now, automation and so forth. They weren't walking like they used to. And that the science was predicting that there would come a time when man would evolve without having any legs. And of course, I didn't realize it then. I was very mature. I was in the fourth grade. And I remember this teacher saying that one of these days people are going to be born without legs. And I scratched my head and I raised my hand and Mrs. Taylor said, "Yes, sir, how can I help you?" And I said, well, Mrs. Taylor, for years the farmers and the ranchers, the sheep raisers, have been cutting the tail off of the sheep when they were little because they say it takes a whole bushel of feed just to fatten out that tail. And so we'll just cut it off. It's not in the way. It doesn't get quite so messy and everything. We'll just cut it off. And they've been cutting it off for years and years and years. And yet when a baby lamb is born, it still has a long tail. She said, "You go to the office." And I thought, bless God, what did I do? What did I do? So we need to understand, if I were the devil, I'd surround people with people that would mock and scoff. Religious leaders that say, well, as long as you do good. You know, buy Girl Scout cookies, help little old ladies across the street. Don't steal too much of your boss's time. Take back most of the tools you borrow when you go to work. Don't get radical about it. Don't get fanatical about it. Religious leaders that don't know Christ. I would surround them with hypocrites. People who come to church and sing with a loud voice about Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the next time you hear them use the name of Jesus, it's in profanity outside of a bunch of people and they're cheering that cursor on and so forth. Backslidden or phony people. I'd put a lot of those in the way of a person who was coming thinking about Christ or thinking about eternal life or thinking about heaven or hell. I'd send them doctors and lawyers and even family members who are Bible deniers. I'd get them real cozy with those people. I'd surround a person with careless people and selfless people. Here's a thought for you. When a person sits at home, when they could be in the house of God, they're selfish. They're selfish. They think more of their 30-minute nap or their hour nap than they do of somebody, the neighbor next door, hearing the gospel in a believable fashion and getting saved. They're selfish people. And then, of course, I'd cause them to notice every false professor in the land. Everybody who says that they know Christ that really doesn't, I'd call their attention. I'd elbow them, say, "Hey, look over there at that guy. Look over there. He said last week he knows. Look at how he's acting. Watch how he's acting." But let me share this thought with you. If I were to pull out a $100 bill from my wallet tonight, now don't get excited. That's not going to happen. But if I was to pull out a $100 bill from my wallet tonight and hand it to you, chances are anyone in this congregation tonight or anyone that's watching would, upon opportunity, take that $100 bill. They would accept the fact it's probably real. And they would accept that fact because they know that in this world there are some real $100 bills. Oh, I testify to you today, there are a lot of counterfeit Christians running around the world today. But there couldn't be a counterfeit if there wasn't the real deal. The other day I heard that there a lot of people are being scammed with jewels, different kinds of turquoise and different kinds of topaz and just I don't think so much diamonds, but other precious stones. But you know, the only way that somebody can sell those things is because every person on the street, nearly everybody alive, knows that there's some real ones of those. And of course, then the love of money, the root of all evil, it drives a man to sell and it drives a man to buy. And so I would, if I were the devil, I'd just do everything I could to cause a person to not believe the Bible once I heard it, once they heard it. The next thing I'd do is I'd cause a person to wait. You know, I can't understand why anybody would think that the peace of God that passes all understanding, the fact that you're prepared to go to heaven when you die, is worth flittering away while you enjoy the flesh for a little while. And yet there's people today who know how to be saved. They've heard how to be saved. They've been taught how to be saved. They've watched the evidence of salvation, what it can do for a life. And yet they think that if they get saved now, they've got to dry up and die and quit living. Shame on us that they think that. And so the Bible testifies that these people want to just, they want to wait. I want to enjoy the flesh now and then die and go to heaven when I die. 100 years from now, I think, I hope. Well, Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25 says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, Paul, reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Too many people are waiting for a convenient season, waiting for a convenient time. The best time you'll ever have in your entire life to get saved is right now, tonight. Won't be any time any better than right now, tonight, to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28, the Bible says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Well, the song says, almost is but to fail. Almost the bitter wail. Or sad, sad the bitter wail. Almost, but lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the Lord. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so let me encourage you tonight, if you know how to be saved, quit playing Russian roulette. That's a foolish game for a person to play. Especially if you lose, you end up spending forever in a place called hell. Actually, in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So every refusal, every time we tell God no, as a believer or a lost person, every time we tell God no, it's easier to tell him no the next time. Every disobedience lines us up for another disobedient move. If someone waits one heartbeat too long, that's all it takes. One heartbeat too long, it's too late forever. And so if I were the devil, I'd say, no, come on, come on. You don't want to get saved tonight. Man, join that band of religious fanatics and never have any fun. No, I understand what you want to do, the devil says, but you need to wait, enjoy life, get saved later. And then, if I were the devil, after someone was saved, I'd convince them to pick the wrong higher authority. You see, everyone in the world has in their mind, a highest authority. What is the highest authority in the world. And of course, if I were the devil, I'd just have everyone pick the wrong highest authority. And any highest authority will work as long as it opposes the Word of God. So I would give them a lot of things that oppose the Word of God. I'd give them tradition. One of the things we struggled with when we were on the mission field in Austria is that people would say, I believe what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But if I do what you're saying, then I'm saying that my ancestors, my grandparents, my parents, and on back who believe what I've been taught, that I would be admitting that they died and went to hell. What they don't know is if their loved one died and went to hell, in hell they're begging God to send someone with the truth to tell them about Jesus Christ. Tradition. Feelings. Oh, how many times I've sat down with people in Pentecostal churches, interdenominational churches, and wishy-washy churches where they believe in so many things the Bible doesn't teach. I've sat with them and reasoned with them of sin and righteousness. I've reasoned with them about if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Reasoned with them about not frustrating the law or not frustrating the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, Christ died in vain. Reasoned and reasoned and reasoned. And they'll say, well, I think you might be right, preacher, but I know what I felt. And I know how I feel. Well, listen, how we felt and how we feel has nothing to do with the truth of this book. This book is good when it tickles your innards, and this book is true when it rips you apart. This book is truth, and we need to heed what this book says. So I would just take anything. Science. Oh, there's a lot that science has told us that's just not true. Remember when, you probably don't remember, but you probably remember reading about when they thought that the world was flat. I don't think anybody here was there when they were teaching that. But they used to teach that. I found out science was wrong. All the time the Bible said it's a sphere. It's a circle. We need to understand that. The Bible's way ahead of what men have to say. Listen, the Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, in opposition of science falsely so-called. Science has told us that you can't see air. My Bible, now I don't think I've ever seen air. I don't believe I've ever seen air. But I know someone that did. Peter saw air. He saw the wind. If I'm not terribly mistaken, wind is air moving. And Peter saw the wind. The Bible doesn't say he saw the effects of the wind. It says he saw the wind. And he doubted. And in his doubt, he started to sink and so forth. We need to understand that sometimes the highest authority will be education or experience. I'm not against education, but I know this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And when you educate a fool, you just have an educated fool. And yet there's some people today who want to take education, hold it up as the high holy mark, the holy grail. You can't get any higher than this. Get another degree, get another degree, get another degree. I was in a man's office one day. His office was probably half the size of this auditorium. And he had 8.5 by 11 copies of different education awards that he had, and it would have gone around, it did go around the entire perimeter of that office, half the size of this room, and then it started down a second time. And he said to me, he said, but I wouldn't trade one Bible for all those things. He'd gotten saved since he got so well educated, and thank God he came to Christ. Experience. How about multiple versions of the Bible? You know, I talk to people all the time, and I say, well, what version of the Bible do you use? They say, well, I use several different versions. Well, that lets you be the final authority. Because you read this one, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one, and you say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And you choose which one of those you want to accept, and so you become the final authority. So rather than the Bible directing your life, you're directing the Bible. If you have children or people that you have influence over, they're affected by your decision. If I was the devil, I'd convince you to take as your highest authority something that ought not to be your highest authority. You know, I've told people from this pulpit that there are 133 different English translations of the Bible. English translations. This afternoon, just for giggles, I Googled how many different English translations of the Bible are there. And they said 450. Excuse me for understating that all this time. Now, I don't know if I just got the wrong number some time back or if they've done a lot of printing since I picked up that number of 133. Google it this afternoon. Google it this evening on the way home. Wait till you get home so you're not driving and Googling at the same time. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11 says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Listen, this needs to be your final authority. It doesn't matter who the man on the street is. It doesn't matter who the man in the office is. It doesn't matter who the man in that position is. If his counsel is different than this book, he, she, they are wrong. Period. Counsel contrary to this book is wrong. This book contains the very mind of God. And everything that he wants us to know about faith and practice, he had holy men write as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so if I were the devil, I'd keep you away from the Bible. I'd cause you not to believe the Bible. I'd let you see every foul and empty sack of wind that ever came around talking about the Bible. But the Holy Spirit of God loves you. And so he points us to the Bible. The man that won me to Christ knocked on my door, came into my home, asked me if I was a Christian. That's not the question I usually ask people, but that's the one that I was asked that night. He said, Bill, are you a Christian? And I was just sober enough that I said, I don't know. What's a Christian? And I named off a whole litany of different denominations. And he said, well, sir, I understand that. Do you believe the Bible? And I had been taught that the Bible was the Word of God. And something in me just accepted the fact that the Bible was the Word of God. But it was an impossible book to listen to, an impossible book to read. He said, if I could show you from the Bible what God says a Christian is, would you be interested? And I said, if you can show me that, I'd be interested. He took about a half hour going through the Scriptures and showing me that I was a sinner, that I was on my road to hell, not because someone was picking on me, not because of the color of my skin, not because of my education or the lack of my education, not because of the size of my bank account, but I was on my road to hell because I was a sinner. And then he showed me that Jesus died for me because he loved me in my foul state. He still loved me and gave himself for me. And he explained to me that had I been the only sinner in all the world, Jesus still would have gone to that old rugged cross He still would have suffered all the humiliation, all the shame, all the loneliness, all the embarrassment. He would have done that just for me. And then after he died, they put him in a tomb. And 72 hours later, he rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And he ever lives today to make intercession for us. And at my kitchen table, I gave my heart to Jesus. And things ain't been the same since. Oh, the devil still bothers us. The devil still tries to get one over on us all the time. He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I found that when I keep my nose in this wonderful, wonderful book, when I study to show myself approved unto God, when I look at the Scriptures to say, nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? When I do that, God puts me a step ahead of the devil and he loses again. What a wonderful thing that is. Tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I beg you in Jesus' name, give your heart to Him. And child of God, if you say, I know, preacher, I've given my heart to Christ. And I really did do, I know I'm saved. Isn't He worth living for? Isn't He worth, if He's worth dying with, He's worth living for. I recommend Jesus. I hope you'll accept it. As a lost person, you'll accept Him. As a saved person, you'll purpose you're going to live for Him. Let's bow our heads, please.